Dooby dooby doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby dooby doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby doo, I see you. Pretending you got a sliver. You're not fooling me, 'cause I can see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to
Welcome back, everyone, to this 50th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Good. Yay, 50.
I know. It seems like 50 months since we recorded last.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's to be fair, there hasn't been anything to talk about.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I was looking today, and we recorded, I think this is our third show in 4 months. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And not all of that is from lack of information. It's just... I don't know, kind of some bad timing, but
yeah,
it's been pretty crazy. I mean, can you even remember what we talked about on episode 49?
Oh, probably PAX.
I think we talked about the beta for Guild Wars 1. I think that's we were all excited about that new Guild Wars game coming
out. Yeah.
Yeah, those jokes never get old.
Yeah, and I was thinking about maybe getting married.
Yeah. So, well, you're really talking a long time there. So anyway.
True story.
Yeah. A lot has happened today, actually, but a lot hasn't happened in the last month, I would say. Last time we recorded was September 1st, which was a long time ago, and here we are again, getting ready. Now, one of the big reasons we wanted to postpone this is actually we were kind of waiting on some things, and... I think we mentioned on episode 49 that we had some announcements we wanted to make as far as, the show changing a little bit.
And, can we tell?
Here and there. Yeah, I think we can.
Yay.
But I think we can, it's not a huge deal, or at least I hope it's not a huge deal. Essentially, for anyone out there who knows about Gamebreaker, gamebreaker.tv is the web address. It's led by Gary Gannon, who, now, anyone who's been following MMO podcast for a long time might remember Gary. He used to do MOG, what was it called? I think it was just MOG. It was like Massively Online Gamer. And that was the name of the podcast. And he did it with Ryan Vernier. And Ryan, of course, went on to work at CCP. And then Gary kind of, he did Gax Online, which was kind of his little social network that he set up. It was actually very successful. And that's actually... I mean, I could go into this forever, but I used to write there before I worked at Massively. So that's a long time ago. So Gary made this new thing called Gamebreaker TV, and it's been wildly successful. He has lots of shows on there, and many of them are catered towards certain games, specific game shows. And then, of course, he has his regular Twemo, which is This Week in MMO, which is kind of like, some MMO people get together and talk about the week's news at MMOs. Well, we've been throwing around the idea of doing a Guild Wars show, a Guild Wars 2 show for Gamebreaker. And then we said, well, why don't we just kind of port Guildcast over to Gamebreaker? Just call it Guildcast, and it'll be, Ruby and I hosting the show, and of course Gary would host it, but we would kind of be the co-hosts. And the good or possibly bad part about that is it's all video. So,
depending on how you feel about looking at us.
Yeah, I joked that it would be like a Beauty and the Beast thing, and but that then I apologized to Ruby for saying that.
I know. I cried, and you hate when I cry.
No, it's let's just say I haven't shaved in a while. Should we just leave it at that?
Dude, seriously, that beard the other night? Wow! Whoa!
Yeah, I live in a cave. I live in a cave, and There are no mirrors or shaving utensils.
That was pretty funny, considering you were sitting in the dark while this conversation was happening.
What will happen is we're going to kind of turn Guildcast into a video show. I think that's the best way to say it. And it's going to be part of Game Breakers Network. Now, as far as there still being audio available, that is a good possibility. Actually, that's probably what will happen. I'll still take the audio from the show and I'll release it on the same RSS feed that you're listening to right now and the same website. Still, you know, guildcast.com will still be there and all that. And we'll just kind of keep that going so that if you don't want to sit down and watch video, which I can understand, you know, a lot of people listen to podcasts on their way to work or, at work, and you can't really sit down and watch video. Mm-hmm. But it gives you more options. You can watch the show live, which I think, I better not say a day because I don't think we're set on a day yet, but it'll be live at a certain time every week, and then it'll also be in video saved so that you can go back and watch the saved video later, which I think is a great little format. And then, of course, the audio is still there. What will be funny is it will be unedited, so it'll be like, you know, whatever happened live will just be on the audio. So I think a lot of times maybe the people who just listen to audio might be missing out a little bit. They might at least feel like it, because we'll do like visual cues that will, I don't know. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, making fun of my beard, you know, things like that. So so even if you're just an audio only person, I would encourage you to, you know, at least go check it out and download.
Yeah, give it a shot. Yeah, it'll be fun.
And Ruby and I have been on Game Breaker many times before, so there's that. I don't know, but it should be fun. You know, it's the format I don't think is really going to change that much. It's still going to be kind of casual, going down the news and things like that. And this is just going to add another element to it for those who might enjoy that. So I think it's a good thing. Now, the shows will be a lot shorter. We've talked about doing, like half-hour shows, which I have no problem with. I think that would be good, especially if we're going to go to every week, or I don't know, we might go every other week. I don't know how that's going to work.
Well, I think we're going to kind of have to play it by ear because ArenaNet is so fond of this feast or famine news release thing. I mean, this might be it for who knows how long.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the big thing, too, is it's like, you know, the game hasn't launched yet. The game isn't in beta yet, and we're talking about it. And you know, aside from the big news drops like today, we still have the last class reveal. I'm sure
beta,
there's...
Beta.
Yeah, beta news. We have some stuff that's still coming down the pipe, but it's going to be like in a couple weeks from now or, a couple months from now or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be like, bam, that's it.
Yeah, but the good thing, the thing about this is if there isn't a lot to talk about, we're not going to be sitting there just spouting whatever to fill an hour with random noise.
Yeah.
And we're not going to waste your time. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll still have some stuff to talk about. And I don't know. I'm really excited. I mean, this probably won't start until about a month from now, probably in mm-hmm. early December. We've talked about a date. And it's funny because we have, Gary's going to be at, I think, Minecom in Vegas. And then we have Thanksgiving coming up. And then, my wife is going to have a baby somewhere around there. So, I mean, those are kind of important things. And, so we decided to kind of postpone it a little bit till after that. But,
so I'm not even going to be in town for Thanksgiving, so
yeah.
We're no good to you guys at this point.
So and we might actually have some alternate like hosts, like not alternate but alternating hosts.
Yes,
that's a possibility. Yeah, we're going to be talking to some people, and so yeah, it's going to change. It's going to be fun and more options and. It's like a free-to-play game. You have more options. Oh, no, I don't want to go there.
Oh, you did that, didn't you? You just now, that just happened.
That just happened.
Oh, man, that is not going to be pretty.
I know. Well, let's get into this news then.
Yes!
This dropped this morning, and what it is it's a development diary by John Peters, and he kind of explains a little bit more about three major things. There's the tool belt for the engineer, because they made some changes to that since Gamescom, which is, I think that was Gamescom and PAX the last time someone played the game. public. Also, companion pets. There's some changes with that. And then the cross-profession combos. There's like an explanation of how that works, a much better explanation. So let's start out with the engineer and the tool belt. You want to go ahead and run down this since I'm talking a lot?
Yeah. All right, the short version is the tool belt is a really cool mechanic exclusive to the engineer, and it just had so much potential, and the ArenaNet guys just felt like they could do more with all of this potential here. The way John puts it is, we started imagining a much cooler version of the engineer's tool belt where every slotted heel and utility skill had a tool belt counterpart. Mm-hmm. So more gadgets, more stuff to play with. More fire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, originally, they just did a few of the skills would work right in conjunction with the tool belt. But now they say almost every, let's see, I don't want to mess up their wording, but it made it seem like they were saying every skill.
He said almost. Every okay. Slotted heel and utility skill.
Okay.
They made 23 new skills for this. And I love this. He said, since this is ArenaNet, that meant a bunch of meetings, some yelling, a whiteboard, and a lot of sticky notes. I love that. That
the
just sounds
part.
Like they had so much fun.
Yeah, except for the yelling part.
Now, even with the yelling, I'm convinced.
So, yeah, I mean, it makes it sound like they're doing like these combos, you know, kind of like the cross-profession combos, but it's, you know, just mm-hmm. within the engineer himself. So it's,
yeah.
I mean, some of the examples here, like throw Elixir H. It says that's a ground-targeted skill that throws Elixir H at the target area, randomly granting vigor, protection, or regeneration to allies in the area. And then, like, incendiary ammo, your next three attacks cause burning. And he gives an example here where he says, I personally love popping incendiary ammo, firing off a few rounds, swapping to my flamethrower, chasing the enemy with super speed, which is another tool belt skill, and then finishing them off with a rocket kick. And rocket kick is like a AoE fire damage kick. So he's kind of giving us his own little build of, you know, how he likes to use these tool belt skills.
You know, this just really solidifies what I thought about the engineer before. This is a class that I think a lot of people with not quite enough patience are going to have the same reaction that they did to the current assassin. That class sucks. This is completely underpowered and weak, and it's no good. But when you learn it, and if you can play it right, this thing is going to do so much damage.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and if you see a good engineer coming, you need to run and run fast.
Yeah, exactly. I think like with the assassin, a lot of people said it sucked because they couldn't, you know, just hit random skills and it would
they
kill stuff.
They could do it right.
Yeah, you had to do a certain way, and I think it confused a lot of people. But I've said this before, engineer, man, unless they announce that Mesmer for the 8th class, engineer is the one thing I've been saying for, you know, a long time. Man, I really love engineer mechanics and the way they work. So I'm just so excited about this.
Oh, Asura, Thief, and Engineer are way up at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, they've displaced Elementalist. That's how good this is.
Uh-oh.
My poor Ellie.
Well, let's go on to this next bit here. This is about the Ranger's best friend. And as you heard at the beginning there, our nice little intro song.
Go ahead and say it.
This is, it's all about Scooby-Doo. Because, you got to look at this. I don't understand why someone in ArenaNet that didn't look at this picture. There's a picture of a dog howling at a bear who's getting ready to swipe at the dog, and the dog looks exactly like Scooby-Doo. Like,
he
exactly.
does!
So why didn't someone at ArenaNet that, like, look at this and go, hey guys, did we get the IP for Scooby-Doo, or how did that work? Because it's Scooby-Doo, and I think, like you said instantly, when you saw this picture, you said, whoa, why is there Scooby-Doo in my email?
Yes!
And I saw it, and I'm like, whoa, what's with the Scooby-Doo picture? And like all the comments on it at Massively are like, whoa, it's Scooby-Doo. So it's...
Well, not... I may have given some alt text to the image that... Yeah.
That's all right. But it's just like, it's not that obscure. Why did...
Why are we my the only ones noticing? My whole thing is Scooby started a forest fire, and Smokey's going to mess him up. So that's what's happening here.
That's probably, yeah.
And he's going, I'm sorry. And Smokey's like, forget it, man. I'm going to claw you.
Would do a Scooby voice right now, but I would just embarrass myself.
Ruh-roh. That's as good as it gets for me. I can't. I'm sorry.
So. Yes,
we got past the elephant in the room.
So these ranger pets, there's been some tweaking with it and some more details on how they work, which I think is really exciting. So you have a total of 2 terrestrial and 2 aquatic pet slots, so that's 4. Mm-hmm. Amphibious pets, they say, are able to occupy both terrestrial or aquatic slots, so you could slot them either or. Mm-hmm. You can swap between your pets. It says you use F4 to swap between them. And you can swap between 2 valid pet slots during combat. So it doesn't say 4. I guess that's... I would imagine it means that... I wonder if you switch... Okay, so I guess when you go in the water, it would switch anyway, right? Would switch to your aquatic pets anyway. So that's why you can't switch between 4, because it depends on where you're at.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense. Okay, so... You have that. You have the. There are 2 stances for them. There's passive and active, and of course, passive would be standing around looking for Scooby snacks, and then active would be going to get the Scooby snacks, right?
That's if a bear is a Scooby snack. Yes, that's how it works.
Or perhaps pulling the mask off of Old Man Jenkins' head. I mean, that
totally.
Would also, You darn kids, all that stuff.
Man, so, I want a skill that does that, like remove mask.
Yes.
Reveal farmer.
Reveal farmer. So in addition to this, though, in addition to the stances, now, of course, you can guess what they do. In all seriousness, active makes them attack. but in addition to this, there's also a control system where you can kind of assign or make your pet go attack something. Even if you have them set to passive, you can set them to go attack something. So I think that's it's a good way to, so you don't have to go, oh, now I have to set it to active, and now I have to do this, and you just kind of override that. Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing is the classification of the pets. You have family, which is, like the example given here, feline would be the family, and then you have species, and within that family, the species would be, for example, a snow leopard. And they say that there are 3 skills. Each family has 3 basic skills that define the family.
So like all the bears.
Yeah, like all the bears have one. All the drakes. They mentioned drakes. I can't believe they have a drake pet.
So cool.
And then devourers, polar bears. So I imagine like with polar bears, it would be bears. And then you would have, brown bear, black bear, Smokey the bear, which is right here fighting.
He puts out fires. If you're on fire, your Smokey bear can... extinguish. That was the word I was looking for.
That'd be a good one. So it's kind of cool that there are the classifications like that, so that it kind of breaks it down, so that each species will have its own skills. You know what I mean? And also the pets, you don't have to level them like you do in Guild Wars 1, where you have to, and they all like okay. So there's not only I'm trying to explain this, and then I keep forgetting, maybe not everyone's played Guild Wars 1. But so the way Guild Wars 1 pets work now is you can level them, but then you can also kind of branch them into different directions, like more aggressive, things like that. But then you also level them separately from your character. Well, in Guild Wars 2, the levels will be tied to your character level. So, it's a little less management with your pets.
Well, and you don't have to spend all this time leveling pets, because in Guild Wars 1, if you get a pet, it's level 5.
Yeah.
And if you're level 20, then you've got this weak little pet. And honestly, so many people, the pet still levels even if it's dead. So many, you'll just let the pet die and get the thing out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's actually another thing. I mean, pets in Guild Wars 1 are kind of a joke. I mean, not for the way that they've been designed, but for the way that people just don't want a pet around, because it aggroes stuff, or it'll just be in the way. And I think that they've looked at that and they've said, well, we want people to have pets, so let's open it up a lot. Let's let them have more at their disposal. Let's let them own a pet without having to train it from the beginning. I just kind of wish, like I I kind of like that, though, the training thing. I kind of wish that we could still do that as an option. You know what I mean? Like, I think
really?
That would be cool. Yeah, I would love to do that. Like, level your pets and because I liked that part of Guild Wars 1 where you could make them aggressive if you wanted to. Versus... It didn't really make a big difference, but I just like that.
Well, it was just maybe a little more personalization.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way... What they're doing here... The reason this is so great overall is because, do you remember when the Ranger was introduced and there was like this outcry of, but do you have to have a pet? I want to go Ranger, no pet. I want to go Ranger, no pet. So many people were saying that, and ArenaNet was like, well, you can, but it's a really bad idea. I mean, you're going to be gimped if you do this. And they've gone back, and I guess especially after people started playing, they were like, okay, that's fine. You have to have a pet. It's going to stink if you don't, but the pets aren't very good.
Yeah.
And what's so great about this update that we're hearing from John Peters today is that ArenaNet actually has sat back and said, and they did this a while back and said, you're right, pets are pretty weak. I mean, they're not that great. And since we're making it where you really need to have one, let's make the pets good.
Yeah.
And one of the mechanics I like, something that when we were talking about switching between your two pet slots, they've actually made it so you don't have to be without your pet. Even if it gets killed, boom, you've got a skill that allows you to call the other one in immediately. Mm-hmm. So they've really, if you're going to have to be with this thing all the time, they're going to make it worth your while. And that seems to be what all of this update has pointed to. I love it.
Yeah. And they do say that there's a cooldown for that. When you call a new pet, and then there's even more of a cooldown if your pet was downed in a downed state. But then when you bring the downed pet back after the cooldown and all that, it'll come back with full health.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Love it. And downed, not killed, my bad.
Yeah. Well, one thing I don't like, though, I guess, is in Guild Wars 1, you could always have that option to make rangers your secondary profession. So if you wanted a pet, so you could be an elementalist with a pet, you could be a warrior with a pet, you could do whatever you wanted and have a pet just as long as you had rangers your secondary or primary. And you don't really have that option here, you know what I mean? Because they did away with the dual class system. So
yeah.
It's like, I want to have a pet, but then I'll have to be a ranger, you know?
I wonder how the practicalities... I guess I wonder if the practicalities of that prevented them, because with the way the skill system is set up, if you were an elementalist with a pet, my gosh, you'd have to have all new skills.
Yeah.
Or at least some new skills. I don't know. I just wonder if it would be too complicated. Kind of with you. I mean, I would like to be an Ellie with Scooby-Doo, but...
Or maybe there's... and this is speculation on my part, no hints at this, I'm just making this up, but
we do not know.
Yeah, we don't know anything. But what if there's an item, like a dog leash or something that you can, I guess it wouldn't be a dog leash, it would have to be something that would be a weapon also, but something that gave you a pet, like it took up a couple of your weapon skills, your item skills with a pet. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could just pick up whatever animal restraint thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the overall term for that is, but I think you've been playing Fallen Earth also.
Yes.
Yes. And horse harnesses.
And horse harnesses, yeah.
Bear, I don't know, bear something?
Halter, I think, is what horses use.
A horse halter.
Yeah.
Oh, do donkey? Okay, you know what? I want donkeys in Guild Wars 2 now. Ooh, a little state trooper hat for your bear. Sorry, I'm not moving past the smoky thing anytime soon.
Well, okay. So that's essentially it with pets. I mean, they have more controls. They have they're classified better as far as the the explanation of how they're classified, and then they're worth something now. You can have multiples. They said you don't need like a stable. You don't need a stable for your pets. You can have them once you unlock. Now that's another thing is they say you unlock the families, so you can unlock the cats, the felines, and then you'll have, let's see, the exact words, because I don't want to say this
wrong. Yeah, is it family or species? I thought you unlocked the species.
It says each pet belongs to a species, and each species belongs to a family. For example, snow leopard, blah, blah, blah. Charming a species unlocks that species for you. Yeah, you're right. Allowing you to equip that species into any pet slot whenever you are out of combat.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you have to unlock each species, not just the family. Okay.
See, I read it that way at first when I was reading this before, and yeah. I got all excited. I was like, so I can just charm a brown bear, and then I've got all the bears. Woo! And that's
that'd be a little bit too much on the easy button, I think.
But, yeah.
Now, this what I just noticed, actually, this is funny. When you alt-text over that picture of Scooby-Doo and Smokey, it says Drakehound versus Bear. Drakehound?
Ooh.
I wonder if it has some fire-breathing ability. Or...
no, I think it's like a coonhound or something. I mean, it goes to hunt drakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
A blue tick hound? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
What kind of species is Scooby-Doo, do you know?
He's a Great Dane.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Also, how redneck am I that I, like, went straight to coonhound? Wow.
I forgive you.
Thanks.
All right, well, let's get into this cross-profession combo thing, because I think this is kind of the icing on the cake.
Yes, can I just say,
yes, well, do you want to explain this?
Okay, yeah.
Beyond that?
That's all I have. Well, what's so cool about this is that we already know how cross-profession combos work, but for a year, all we've heard is, you can shoot arrows through a firewall, or you can shoot a bullet through an electrical field, and we've been going, but what else? What else? What else? Tell us more. Because, you know, we already know that stuff. And John just explained so much about the foundation of how the system works. And let me I'm going to borrow some of his words. The cross-profession combo has two elements, and that's, you've got one person that is the initiator, and I guess the actual action is called the initiator, but the person that sets up the field is the initiator, and then you've got your finisher, the person that does the action involving that field to make whatever you're doing that much more deadly. Mm-hmm. And the fields are just like any flavor, fire, ice, lightning, poison, light, dark, smoke, anything you do, it seems like almost any area of effect is a potential cross-profession combo.
Yeah.
It is so incredibly varied.
I like the way he kind of likened it to volleyball. He said it's like set and spike.
Yeah, set and spike.
Yeah, I think that really makes a lot of sense.
But here's what's so cool about this to me. Well, and I know it's all going to be on the wiki within like 5 minutes of the game launching, but it reminds me of the way crafting is set up, is that you find these things by playing. Mm-hmm. And he gave a couple of examples, and I'll go to those in a second, but something that he said was when two players create a combo, you get a floating notification for each player that shows that you did a combo and how you did it. Mm-hmm. Now, that is extremely, extremely awesome because you just learned something.
Yeah. It also, though, I hate to say this, but it reminds me of something that's already been done in LOTRO, you know, the fellowship maneuvers. In LOTRO, somebody can do something and they can open up a fellowship maneuver, and then the other people in the fellowship, which is like a, you know, group, a party, they can go off of that to make some kind of extra skill. And it's in LOTRO, though, it's a lot more of a, I don't know, it's not as dynamic, I guess I should say, as it is here. I mean, there are some pretty cool effects tied with it in LOTRO, but it seems like in this, it's a lot more fluid and organic. It's like, you know, you have that little pop-up on the UI like in LOTRO, but it just seems like here... Now, we haven't seen this. I haven't seen this in action, but it seems like it's just a lot more like the smoke screen thing. You lay down smoke, and then, you know, like a warrior will stomp, and it'll make the smoke go everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, that seems...
I love that.
It just makes so much more sense. And, I mean, I don't want to pick on, you know, the the design of this by saying it's been done before, but, you know, it's. I think there's a couple quotes out there about how there are no new ideas. I think it was Audre Lorde, I think, said that there are no new ideas and there are only ways of making them felt. New ways of making them felt, I think is how it goes. But, yeah, I mean, that just...
And I'll take
it. Yeah, it makes sense here. And, yeah, and it's not a bad thing. Exactly.
Yeah, and I love the variety. My favorite example was Leaping Death Blossom through a symbol of faith will remove conditions from allies near your target. Mm-hmm. That's just so neat. I mean, the encouragement to work together is so exciting to me. This is all so much fun. Let's see, the warriors. Oh, it was the image. I was like, where did I see that? An elemental freezes the ground, then a warrior stomps the frozen earth, granting armor and frost to his nearby allies.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's so neat. Now, the only thing about this, and I saw someone point this out this morning, is that some of it doesn't seem very intuitive. A warrior stomps the frozen earth, it almost seems like it would send shards of ice into your enemies.
Yeah. And I mean, they have the certain combos that work together. Like, you can't just combine anything. Like, you can't combine ice and fire and then be like, what happens? Oh, it melted. You know, but it's there are certain combos that work. And like he says at the end here, you know, all that's left now is for you to find and master them. So he's essentially saying, like, we have a bunch of them set up. Now it's up to you. It's, you know, this reminds me of crafting in a lot of games. A lot of games where you kind of pick elements here and there, and you just kind of say, what's going to happen if I mix these? You know, like Glitch. Glitch is one where you do, you mix the elements, and you kind of just see how it works. It kind of reminds me of that, where it's like, let's see what happens if I shoot through an ice wall. You know, will it make ice bullets? Or let's, you know, just throwing these things together, I think that's kind of cool. And like you said, there will be wikis set up that will have, you know, detailed explanations of how they all work by week two of launch. But
I think you're being a little generous there.
but you don't have to look at those. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. Still, it's a resource that'll be there if you want it. But this is exactly how they've set up crafting as well. And to a point, it's how they've set up dynamic events. They want you to go search and find and explore and learn. And it's just more of what Guild Wars 2 is all about. So it's a mechanic that is just so exciting to me.
And you know what that reminds me of? One of the, I guess, getting deeper. No. Fallen Earth. No. Getting deeper into kind of you know, philosophies of MMOs is something I always think about. But when you played your first game, think about your first game. Now, for us, it's easy because it was Guild Wars as far as MMOs. Your first MMO is so exciting because you're exploring all this new stuff. You know, you're seeing people walking around you, and you're like, those are people. Like, they could be living anywhere. You know, they could be living on the North Pole, and that person is standing right next to me. And so you have all this newness, which is, I guess, branching off of that, that's why a lot of people go back to World of Warcraft. It's a lot of people's first game. Mm-hmm. So the importance of your first discovery is always big in your mind. It always sticks with you, and it's always going to be one of those things that you not only mold the future outlook on, but you also kind of compare it to everything else. So with that, it's the discovery part of that, which is so important, and it really sticks in your mind. So now we have that discovery again in Guild Wars 2. You know, we have the going out and figuring out how things work again. You know, there's no more. I know a lot of games launch now, and they want to stay familiar. You know, they want to make sure that you don't waste a lot of time figuring out how to play the game. You just play the game. But I think at the same time, they're missing out on that discovery. And I think Guild Wars 2 is going to have that discovery. And I think it's going to be a huge part of the, the staying power of the game. Because I don't want to name any names, but there's a game that, you know, launched recently that was really similar to a game that launched, you know, 6-7 years ago. And that game was wildly popular at the beginning when it launched, but now it's not anymore because it doesn't have that sticking power. And I think that am I going to get in trouble for that? So
no, I'm feeling bad because you're so right.
But I think that Guild Wars 2, even if Guild Wars 2 doesn't have the numbers of, say, you know, Star Wars The Old Republic at launch, which I'm not saying that it won't. I actually think it'll maybe surpass that. But
now
I'm in trouble. But I think in a year from now, the Guild Wars 2 numbers will be higher than another game that might have launched a similar year.
Well, it's all about retention.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, that's what I'm saying. This discovery, the kind of research, you know, all that kind of stuff is going to have so much more retention.
Yeah, I think this, and I, you know, we've said this before, it's not a new concept, but I think it's going to be worth the wait. I know it's going to be worth the wait.
Yeah. Now, after they announce that Mesmer, you know, then it'll just, it'll be downhill from there, right?
I don't know what they're going to call it. Someone, I don't know.
Someone in the comments today on this post called it the Flux Capacitor Mancer, which I thought was hilarious.
I would play the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's get into, let's kind of finish this episode off with a little bit of email. We have a couple.
Yay.
We didn't get a lot because I think people thought we dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But we did not. Okay, so this first one is from Lorenzo, and he says, Dear Sean and Ruby, long-time listener but first-time emailer here, I've kind of been holding back on something I've noticed recently between existing Guild Wars content and the Guild Wars Beyond content, and this does relate to Guild Wars 2. Anyways, we've already covered all the races and nearly every profession, save for the bound-to-be-revealed Mesmer. Woohoo! The reason I say it's bound to be revealed in some shape or form is because it's such a staple to the Guild Wars universe. And it's touched upon in the books. But the question is, how will it be revealed, and what can we expect? Well, I spotted something that I found to be not only telling of the possible progression of the Mesmer profession, but also of what we can expect. And he's got two links here. Let's see, I think these are the pictures, the wallpaper pictures. Yeah, there's...
Oh, okay.
These are ones, we've seen these, I believe. Oh. Okay, yeah, one of them is an old Guild Wars Mesmer picture. Anyway, he says, as you can see, I've linked two images here that have an almost uncanny resemblance between them. Some original Mesmer concept art and the Ministry of Purity concept art for Guild Wars Beyond. It's so similar you can't help but wonder if Anet did this on purpose, and to what effect. I have a feeling that we'll see more in the Winds of Change content, or at least I hope we do. But more importantly, if my guess is correct, the Mesmer will adopt a mid-range to close-range tactic in Guild Wars 2. Complete with hallucinations while using swords, just imagine being able to make a hallucinated version of yourself that imitates a forward attack, but in fact performs sideswipe or even back attack while repositioning yourself. Actually, you know what? Let me break in here. That reminds me of the Scionist in Allods Online. It does something
really
similar to that. Yeah, it's a really. They took the Mesmer and they did some cool stuff with it. Because Mesmer is original to Guild Wars, of course. Anyway,
yep.
It says the Mesmer could take advantage of the heavy positioning of the thief, while still able to perform more powerful damage over time and phantasmal attacks at mid-range. I'm just speculating here, and I'm a huge Mesmer fan as well, but I thought at the very least the relationship between the pieces of concept art might get you wondering what's to come. Here's hoping, a very outward Mesmer fan. You're right. You're right, Lorenzo. I think that's an angle that we haven't heard before, which is good.
I'm liking this.
Yeah.
It just makes me want to get to that final profession more, but hey.
Yeah. You know what I think? In this dev diary from John Peters, he said that they are tweaking that final profession and that, you know, they're kind of still testing it. So here's my theory. They were going to make the Mesmer, but then since everybody pretty much guessed it, they're like, we gotta change it a little bit. So be a surprise.
Nice.
Or here's another theory, the opposite theory. Maybe they didn't make the Mesmer, but everybody's crying for it, you know, and crying in a good way, like crying,
yeah,
you know, screaming for it, and they're, including myself, so they're like, ooh, maybe we should make it the Mesmer. So, maybe they're doing that.
I bet that's what happened.
Yeah. Or maybe they're, I don't know.
Or maybe they're doing exactly what they want to do, and we can deal with it.
There you go. Exactly.
And I mean that in a nice way.
All right, let's read this last email here. This is from, this one's long, this one's from Mario. He says, at the end here, he says, pronounce Mario, not Mario, like some people think it's pronounced.
Seriously? Mario? Those are the same people that spell our names wrong.
Greetings, Sean and Ruby. Ooh, he spelled our names right.
Woohoo!
And he even put, yes, with an I, because I too get infuriated with people who cannot pronounce or spell my name correctly.
See?
First of all, I want to say that your show is fantastic. I enjoy listening to your podcast very much. Your friendly and humorous approach to the world of Guild Wars has fascinated me to look into the game more and more. You see, I've never played Guild Wars 1, and that is mainly due to the fact that I've been playing WoW from 2004 until about mid-2011. I've taken my fair share of breaks from WoW, but for the most part, I just stick to WoW and never gave other MMOs a chance. However, Guild Wars to me was that MMO that I, and he puts this in quotes, I would have liked to try but can't because I was too enslaved to World of Warcraft. Ultimately, for me, I felt it was more important to stick with one MMO. Now the time has come for me to soon move on to a new MMO, Star Wars The Old Republic, with my tour guild, Gen Jedi, of the gaming community, legendgaming.net. We have roughly around 100-ish members, I think.
Cool!
However, I had the opportunity to play Guild Wars 2 at PAX Prime, and I have to say I was pretty blown away. While most MMOs pretty much play the same, I have to say that Guild Wars 2 has a very unique flavor to it that I find very enticing. A few of my guildmates also had the chance to play at Prime and had similar feelings about the game. In fact, even though my guild will be focused on SOTOR, we even discussed creating an unofficial chapter for Guild Wars 2. We were pretty excited about this game until we went to the Guild Wars 2 panel at PAX Prime. I think he means...
When?
But is he talking about... He says, we're pretty excited about this game. Is he talking about Guild Wars, or... How about I read on?
It says,
about 10 of us went to the panel, and we were shocked when it was revealed that players could join multiple guilds. Oh, he's talking about Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
When they announced that, all 10 of us just stared at each other in complete disbelief and were confused. You see, our guild, and thus our community, is extremely close-knit, and we don't believe in having more than one guild in one specific MMO.
Ooh.
Many of these people I regard as a second family, and in fact, 5 of them are coming to my wedding in January. You can have guilds in other games, but they have to go through this intense qualifications to become a recognized chapter, a.k.a. guild. I know you both are pretty happy with that change to Guild Wars 2, but I believe that doesn't build guild loyalty, and I find it disturbing that you can change your guild standard at the drop of a hat. I can understand if someone wants to be able to play with their friends, but to be honest, if they really wanted that to happen, then they should be in the same guild in the first place. Also, I don't want to be in the same guild as everyone on my server because I know that every server has its fair share of morons and trolls, and I don't want to be interconnected to those people just because my friend of a friend of a friend of his sister's cousin is an idiot and thus share a connection through a large network of guilds connected by a web of association. If a guild is strong, then it will run itself based on solid ideologies that its members agree to follow. This ensures a strong community that can lead to a lasting real-life relationships outside of any game. This is completely diluted with what Guild Wars 2 is planning on doing. I think that it's a shame that such an intriguing game is going to shoot itself in the foot like that. I heard what you both had to say about this, and I regretfully have to disagree with your reasonings behind it. I'll probably still buy this game, but I won't exactly be pre-ordering any collector's edition or be standing outside at a midnight release. Anyway, please keep up the good work, and I hope I didn't displease you guys too much with my view of the situation. I'm just concerned, as a new person to the Guild Wars universe, as to how the social aspect of the game will turn out. And that's from Mario. I'm sorry, Mario. No.
Mario, be nice. Okay, can I take this?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I am a little bit torn, and I share some of the same concerns. I don't think either of us are displeased. We're definitely not displeased. We like a good debate. The upside for me, and let me give just a very short background. I've been in the same Guild Wars guild for a little over 3 years now. You could not drag me away from that guild with wild horses. When I started the Massively guild, I actually went out and purchased a second account rather than pull my main out of her guild. Absolutely love it. Those people are a second family to me. I know exactly what you mean. But the upside to being able to join multiple guilds, as I see it from this perspective, is that a lot of times you'll have a guild that's focused on one particular aspect of the game. I don't know, like an all-engineers guild, or a guild that just that focuses heavily on dungeon runs.
Or an RP guild.
Yeah, thank you. And you don't want to leave your family. You don't want to have to leave your family. But maybe for a period of time, you really want to focus on such and such for whatever reason. You want to really practice hardcore on PvP, or you want to dabble in roleplay. Mm-hmm. but you don't want to leave your family, this is an option for those people. I don't think it's... I think cutting down on guild loyalty is a concern. I think he said diluted, not diluted, right?
Yeah.
I think diluting guild loyalty and making that less of a thing in game is a concern, and I kind of share your thoughts on that, but I don't think it's going to be the big giant thing that everybody worries it's going to be. Maybe for the first month, I mean, you've got that settling in period at launch anyway, for the first month where everything's insane and people are scrambling around trying to figure out where their place in the game is and what kind of play style they want. But once it settles down, I think everybody's going to have their guild. This is my guild. And then you've got a secondary thing here or there if you have a specific game focus that your guild does not share, and you want an outlet for that for a while. I think that's how it's going to work. And I don't think it's going to make guild loyalty a thing of the past.
Yeah, I could see that. I think also, though, I think that it's going to happen both ways. I think that, it's going to dilute
it's going to delude.
The guild loyalty a bit, and I can see that. I think I did this in Guild Wars 1 where I had multiple accounts, and I had some accounts with different groups of friends. You know, I had groups of,
right,
like five or six people that I loved playing with, and I took a different account and I put, you know, that character in that guild, and I did that on other accounts as well. And I don't know how they felt about it, but I always kind of in the back of my mind thought that it maybe was a little insulting, especially if I didn't have my main, you know, in their guild. And it was kind of like a juggling act, and I felt like it was, I don't know. I mean, none of them actually said anything, so this could be completely in my mind, but it just, I always felt kind of bad about it, you know, that it was, that they were like in my third account's guild, you know, or fourth account or whatever, instead of the primary. But, so I think being able to play with multiple groups of friends is a very cool option. And I think that it's, like you said, you know, you want to, I think I'm going to dabble in RP, so I'm going to join this RP guild. But it's exactly like, you know, he's saying too, that doesn't mean that you're going to have any kind of loyalty to this RP guild. You know, if
exactly.
One person decides that they're going to yell at you for going out of character, you know, for 1 second, you could be like, okay, bye, you know, and then that's it.
Right.
Instead of talking it over or whatever. So, yeah, I guess I can see both sides of that, and it's just going to be a give and take.
I think you're going to have your guild that you're there for the people. You're in this guild for the people and your friends and those personal connections that you make in-game. I think that's going to be the guild. And then I think you're going to have guilds to dabble in different gameplay aspects.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's really the only way to do it. You know, you can't expect yourself or other people in your guild to join multiple guilds and put all of their energy into every one of them.
Right. You
know? So it's going to be, it's almost like they're going to be tiered. You know, you're going to have your primary guild, and you're going to have your RP guild, and maybe your guild with some people you went to high school with or something, and they're only on once a week, you know, and you play one night a week with them. And you know what I mean? I think in that respect, it's a really good system.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm happy with it, even if I do share some of your concerns to a lesser extent.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's about it for us. And we will, of course, you know, we talked about the Game Breaker thing at the beginning of the show, so you can look for that. But like I said, it won't take place for at least another month, and we're going to try. Yeah. We're going to try to have another show before then so we can explain a little bit more about it and give some more details and all that. Because hopefully by then we'll have a date, you know, set. And like I said, we'll also still have the audio in this, hopefully, if I can get that done. So we'll still have the audio to put on here. So, you know, if it does run into where we don't do a show before then, I can still explain it on the audio and you'll still hear it. So
that sounds good.
So, yeah, that's about it from us. And hopefully, you know, by the time they reveal the Mesmer next time, we'll have a lot to talk about, right?
Yes, but this, I mean, this is plenty, I think, to hold us for a few weeks.
Yeah. All right, so if you want to email us, you can email Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. Also, check out our Twitter and Facebook pages. And usually what I do on Twitter is I'll tweet when there's a new episode, so you definitely want to watch that. And then we have the main page, of course, at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com. And I guess that's about it from us. So until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
I'll see you then.